few weeks ago, Karen brought that song to me, and I said, I want you to do it on this Sunday. And there's a reason. She talked about the light of the world, the fact of Jesus Christ being the light, the fact of what you and I are to be, that we have the breath of God within us. Jesus, the light of the world, shine on us. Folks, that's the hope. That's the hope of Jesus Christ. The very fact that you and I possess that kind of hope. Now, my task this morning is not to do an exposition or a word study of the Old and New Testament in the Hebrew and the Greek in terms of the word hope. But I want to say something to you before I say anything about three things I want to share with you about hope. The word hope in the New Testament is from a little Greek word, and it's pronounced elpis. If we transliterate it, that means write it in English so we can spell it or say it. It's E-L-P-I-S. Doesn't even sound like hope, does it? And I'm glad, because the word hope and the word elpis is as different as night and day. When you and I hope for something, we hope it will rain. We hope we can find this. We hope. What are we saying? There is a possibility. Did you know the word elpis doesn't even contain the definition possibility? That the word, as far as elpis in the Greek language to the New Testament church, didn't even carry a form of possibility. The word elpis is translated in any Greek lexicon, as you look back and understand the terminology, as something confident, something that will happen. It's not a possibility. It's not a probability. It is fact. And so hope today I'm talking about is not our kind of hope. It's the hope of the Bible, both in the old and new. I could go back with you and take hours and talk to you about the Hebrew words that deal with hope and what they meant and the Greek terminology, but I've told you the number one word that's used throughout the New Testament to refer to hope, and it means Jesus Christ is the definition of elpis. Three things I want you to hear this morning. Three understanding of the word hope. And you listen closely, because I'm going to move very quickly, but brief. Listen. The first one is this. Isaiah 9:6, the hope of the manger. The hope of the manger. If you look back at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and the scripture and what it says. Look at what it says. For unto us a child, what is the word? What is it? Is born. Isaiah, the 8th century prophet, prophesying over 700 years before Jesus ever came to this earth. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. We know the very fact that Jesus Christ would be born. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a possibility. That's not a probability. That is a fact. And just as sure as the fact that Jesus is born, one day he's coming back. That's not a possibility. That's not a probability. It is a fact. And Isaiah the prophet called him this. In the Hebrew, words modify each other, and it's clearly in the Hebrew, wonderful counselor. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. The word counselor is defined much as we would define it today. It's one who gives advice, one who gives counsel. In this case, spiritual, eternal advice. And he will be the Wonderful Counselor. He will be the one to teach us, to advise us, to counsel us. But then there's even more. He is the Mighty God. In the Hebrew, it's called El Shaddai. The Mighty God. The word mighty, it's a little word called gibor in Hebrew, and it literally means to be strong and mighty. But yet, on the other side, this word talks about the warrior side of God. He is powerful. He is God. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's the Mighty God. And then Isaiah said at the manger, he's going to be the everlasting Father. I love this word, Father. We have a New Testament word called Abba, which means daddy. It's used when Jesus prayed to the Father, Abba Pater, literally, Father, Father, Dad. And in the Old Testament, it's a little word that is pronounced Ab. And believe it or not, the origination of this Hebrew word came from the fact of an infant's first words coming out of their mouth. If you couldn't say dad, it sounded like Ab. And the Hebrew word Ab literally meant father. It meant a father figure, one to stand beside, one to be. But he's not just going to be a father temporally that is between birth and death. This Son of God is going to be the everlasting Father. And then Isaiah says something else about this manger. When that little baby is born and the hope of this world 700 years later would come into this world, the Bible said that he's going to be the Prince of Peace. The word sar in Greek or Hebrew is literally the word for prince. And understanding what the word prince means, understanding that it means royalty, it means that which is royalty, but you make that word feminine and you get the term Sarah or the name Sarah, princess. So he is going to be the prince of what? You know the word in Hebrew for peace. What is it? You remember? Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. The word peace, as we'll see in a few weeks even more, means more than just war and peace at war. It means, ladies and gentlemen, the peace that nobody can understand. It passes our comprehension. It's the peace of Christ. You may feel like the world is crushing in on you from every side possible, top, bottom, middle, sideways. I don't know what you faced this past week. I know what I faced. But the Bible says he'll give you peace. And it means total assurance in Jesus Christ. Wow. Isaiah the prophet, over 700 years before Jesus came into this world, prophesied the very fact that this little baby would be born in a manger. And let me say something to you. Peter Stoner wrote a book one time called Science Speaks. And in that book, he simply applies the understanding of modern science to the probability of the 8 prophecies regarding Christ through the book of Isaiah. And he says that chances, what are the chances that man may have fulfilled all of the 8 prophecies scientifically is 1 in the 10th to the 17th power. Now, I'm no mathematician, so I have to write all this down. In essence, that means 1 to the 100 quadrillion. So he says, here's how you explain it. If you take 10 to the 17th silver dollars and lay them on the face of Texas, they will cover all the state of Texas 2 feet deep. Now mark one of these silver dollars and stir up the whole mass thoroughly. Blindfold the man, tell him he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up that silver dollar marked in all those 2 feet deep silver dollars over the state of Texas and find the marked one. What is the chances of that one man finding the marked silver dollar? Stoner says in his book, just about the same chance that the prophets would have had in writing of those 8 prophecies and having them all come true in one man. Can you see hope? Can you see that even more this morning? Of Isaiah? Ladies and gentlemen, a prophet is not a fortune teller. A prophet is a forth teller. He tells what he knows is going to happen. And he did it with great detail through the Word of God. There's the hope of the manger. As Pam sat with these children a few minutes ago, she talked about the cross. The second thing I want to tell you, it's not only is that the hope of the manger, but folks, we're on our journey. You can't stay at the manger and not look at the cross. You've missed the gospel. The hope of the cross, ladies and gentlemen. The hope of the cross. Isaiah 53:5. In the first part of that, and I've underlined those verses, or those words for you, but he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. When you read the first part of this, we understand what he's saying here. The very fact of what Jesus did for me and you. The Bible says that he was wounded. That word pierced, wounded, means fatally. We get that word wounded, and we think of wounded being a, some kind of wound that we live. No, the word wound here means a fatal wound that would kill him. He was wounded because of our sin. And then the Bible says he was bruised. That word in Hebrew is a word that sounds like that. It's a word called dakah. And it has the connotation of this. Crush. It's not nice. It's ugly. He was wounded, pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised. No, ladies and gentlemen, the word is crushed. Literally crushed down like this. For our sin. The word iniquity there in Hebrew means sin. He took your death penalty on a cross. Every sin you would ever commit in your entire life was on that cross. Jesus Christ became sin for you and me. You can't have the manger without the cross. Jesus came to die. People say, well, did he have to die? You better believe it. Jesus came to die. It was his sinless blood, that only his sinless blood, that could cover your sin. So he was wounded fatally. He was crushed to the bone. All you got to do is look at the movies today or just read the word and you'll understand that crucifixion was gory. It was bloody. It was nasty. It was sickening because of one word. Sin. And he took our sin to the cross. That little baby who was the light of the world, the hope of this world, became sin. Now I want you to watch something for a minute. The Bible says something else right here. The chastisement of his peace was upon him. The word chastisement is the word discipline. The word peace, you already know, is the word shalom. That little baby grew up to be the Savior of this world. That's no different news than what you know, but it's the hope of the world. It is Jesus Christ. He took what we should have. He died vicariously. That means in our place. So we have the hope of the manger. We have the hope. And remember the definition, the fact of the manger, the fact of the cross. And then the third thing I want to tell you this morning, the hope of what? Today. The hope of today. Mankind, the hope of mankind today is what it says. The very fact, now I want you to look at the last part of this, of Isaiah chapter 53 at the end of verse 5, and that's why I put the little ellipses there after number 5. It says, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds were you healed. By the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Now look at verse 6. All of us. And last time I looked at all, it meant everybody. Every one of us, like sheep, have gone our own way. You work with sheep one day, you'll find out they want to do their own thing. And they go their way. Each has turned to his own way. And the Lord has done what? Read that with me. Read that last word. Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, folks, how do I describe the word laid? I know. You get in the bed, you lie down. You lay on the floor. You lay back in your easy chair and take a nap. No. The word laid has a connotation of cover. So when you lay and cover, it is the picture of a shepherd literally covering his sheep and protecting him from harm. He totally engulfs the sheep, totally protecting that sheep. What did Jesus Christ do for you? That's what it said. 700 years before Jesus Christ came into this world, he took our sin, said it's going to happen. He took our sin and he put every bit of our sin on Jesus. People say, did God forsake his son on the cross for 3 hours? Folks, there was darkness. God cannot look on evil, sin. What did Jesus take for me and you? Say it, sin. Did God turn his back? Yes. For 3 hours, God veiled his back to his son on the cross for one reason, our sin. Christians are wonderful today. They give great lip service to serving the God. But when it comes down to the brass tacks, we forget Isaiah 53:6. God's laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. You're saved, ladies and gentlemen, if you know Jesus Christ, both now, today, and forever. The word laid is eternal. The shepherd would not take his body away from that sheep in order to protect him. He would die for that sheep. One sheep he would die for. If you had been the only one ever to live on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ would have come and laid over you through his blood to save just you. That, ladies and gentlemen, is hope. Amen? It's the hope of mankind. Is he your hope? Is he your hope? Imar Dahan. He was founder of the Radio Bible Class. Wrote a little poem, and folks, it just sums it up as far as I'm concerned. I know this is a classic message, 3 points of a poem. But listen. He said, well, what's all this hectic rush and worry? Where go these crowds who run and curry? Why all the lights and the Christmas trees and the jolly fat man, tell me, please? Why don't you know this is the day for parties and for fun and play? Why, this is Christmas. So this is Christmas, do you say, but where is the Christ this Christmas day? Has he been lost among the throne, his voice drowned out by empty song? No, he's not here. You'll find him where some humble soul now kneels in prayer. Who knows the Christ of Christmas? But see the many aimless thousands who gather on Christmas Day whose hearts have never yet been opened or said to him, come on in and stay. In countless homes, their candles burning, in countless hearts expectant yearning for gifts and presents, food and fun, and laughter till all the day is done. But there's never a tear of grief or sorrow for him so poor he had to borrow a crib, a coat, a boat, and a bed where he can even lay his weary head. I'm tired of all this empty celebration, of feasting and drinking and recreation. I'll make my journey instead to the cross, to Calvary. And there I'll kneel with those who know the meaning of that manger low and find Christ this Christmas. I leap by faith across the years to that great day when he appears the second time to rule and reign, to end all sorrow, death, and pain. In endless bliss we shall then dwell with him who saved our souls from hell, and we'll worship the hope, the Christ of Christmas. Thank God we can celebrate. Thank God for the giving of gifts, the buying of gifts to give. Thank God for the eternal part of the understanding of the Christmas tree and the lights on what it means. But ladies and gentlemen, you've got to start at the manger and go to the cross. That's it. And then when you get to the cross, you look to Friday when he was put in the grave. But Sunday's coming. Friday he was dead and buried and put in the grave. Sunday's coming. Friday, they thought they killed the Son of God, the baby in the manger, the Savior of this world. They thought he was dead, buried, and it was over with. But Sunday's coming. Friday, the world thought they had won. Evil thought they had won the battle. From the manger to the cross was defeat. No one won. He died, was buried. But they didn't know. Sunday's coming. Hope, ladies and gentlemen. Hope. Sunday came. Start at the manger. Go to the cross. And then look to heaven. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for me and you. That is hope. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all that we've done this morning in our own human, very feeble efforts to pray, but now it's time to decide. It's deciding time to make this Christmas different from all the rest to literally, Lord Jesus, take that journey from the manger to the cross in our spiritual walk. Folks, many people in this house have taken that walk, Father, and they're on that journey with me. But perhaps there are those right now that are listening to me that have never decided to say, Lord, you really did take all the sin I'd ever commit on a cross, and you died on that cross for me. And I'm asking you right now, I don't understand it all, I can't figure it out, but I know you love me and I know you died for me, and I ask you to come into my life right now and be my Lord and Savior. Lord, I turn, I make an about face. That word scripturally is called repent, that you turn around, make an about face, and your focus now is on Jesus Christ. And if you would pray that prayer this morning, right now, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God will come into your heart and never, ever leave you. We get so wrapped up in the humdrum of Christmas. All of us get so busy and whatever. Throughout this week, listen for Noel. Listen to how God recalls that term to you. Watch and see the hope of the manger. Every time, wherever you are this week, you see or hear something about the manger, about Jesus. Thank Him for hope in Jesus. May that be your passion this week as we center and focus on hope. And maybe this morning you've been considering, and God's laying it on your heart, to come and join Olive Springs Baptist Church. Folks, we want you here if that's what God wants. And we praise the Lord for His decision. You come as God would lead. And folks, this altar is open for prayer just to say, Lord, thank you for Jesus, for the birth of Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? Would you sing that little chorus with us as Pam and George play for us? I have decided to follow.